Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. You might have, if you want to, you might have a pencil handy. I'm going to be referencing several different scriptures this morning. You might want to write them down. Everyone won't be on the screen, so you may want to write down at least the reference for it. From the very beginning of the human race, God has allowed man to choose whether or not he wants to serve, believe God and serve God. We call that free will, not because we're free will Baptists. We call that free will. Sin came into the world because man chose to exercise that free will and chose to disobey God, and disobedience to God is sin. So I got to thinking about that. And I wondered what we could say to somebody who was contemplating their choice of whether or not to choose God. Why should we believe in God? Why should we serve God? Why should we accept God? Why should anybody do any of those things? And as I thought about that, you know, there are a lot of good reasons for being a Christian. But I'm afraid that sometimes we sort of poor mouth Christianity. You know, I guess we're like everybody else. I hate to admit that, don't we? We're like everybody else, and we like to talk about all of our struggles. We like to talk about our difficulties, our complaints. We like to talk about the things, the sacrifices that we make in the name of God for Christianity. You know, you realize that the only thing that we give up to be a Christian is sin. That's it. But honestly, sometimes to listen to some of us good old Christians talk, you would think that we've given up everything that was precious and vital, that we lived the most terrible existence, that we're poor and we're broken and we're just barely getting by every day of our life. Now, why would anybody listen to that and think that Christianity is attractive? Why would anybody hear that and then choose Jesus? When the truth is just exactly the opposite. There are a lot of good reasons to be a Christian. There's not one good reason to not be a Christian. I want to talk about just a few this morning. And my introduction is about 45 minutes, so get comfortable. First of all, God is real, and He really is God. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. The Bible begins and ends by telling us that God is almighty, all-powerful. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Revelation 1, verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. God is Almighty. That's reason enough to choose Him, isn't it? John 21:17 tells us that God knows all things. He is omniscient. Psalm 139 tells us that God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. That psalm, if you read it, says there's no place that we can go to escape the presence of God. Daniel chapter 4, verse 5 tells us that God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. As a matter of fact, it was an evil king who made that statement. But he understood that God puts people in power, God takes people out of power. God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12 tells us that God is the judge of all people. That's talking about the great white throne judgment. And it says, the great and the poor, the dead and the living, all people will stand before God in judgment. Any one of those things is a good reason to choose God and to serve God. But they're all a little bit frightening, aren't they? You know, when we think about all power and all knowledge and everywhere present and the judge and the sovereign ruler, listen, that's a little bit frightening. If you're not on His side, that could be a real problem. There's some good reasons, other good reasons to serve God that aren't nearly as frightening. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, God is love. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves everybody. God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His Son to die on the cross to pay the price for your sins. That's a good reason to serve and to choose God. Once we confess our sins and receive Jesus as our Savior, He gives us personal peace. He gives us abiding joy. He gives us protection and provision. He gives us direction. He gives us purpose in life. He helps us. He is our friend. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 18:24 tells us that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Listen, sometimes don't you just need a friend? Listen, Jesus will be that friend. He is that friend if you've accepted Him as your Savior. All of those are good reasons to choose God and to serve God. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told the parable you're familiar with. It's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And in this parable, there are a couple of more reasons that I found to choose God and to serve Him. And so I want to read that parable this morning. Luke chapter 16, we'll start in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The first reason that I can find in this parable to choose God and to serve God is the torments of hell. I don't know a preacher in the world that likes to talk about hell. I don't like to talk about hell. Some of them just refuse to do it. I do it because it's in the Bible. I've actually had people quit the church because I preach occasionally about hell, and they don't like it. But hell is a compelling reason to choose God. As a matter of fact, I'll just be honest with you. When I was 8 years old, and the reason I got saved is because hell scared me to death. And it ought to scare all of us. In verse 23 of Luke 16, the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. The word is plural. This parable gives us a glimpse of just some of the multiple torments of hell. First of all, the rich man could see Lazarus in heaven. He lift up his eyes and he could see Lazarus in heaven. Wouldn't it be a terrible torment to be able to look up from the pits of hell and to see into the glories of heaven, knowing that it all could have been yours if you had accepted Jesus as your Savior? I think the people in hell can see into heaven. And I think they have the knowledge. They understand, all I had to do was admit that I was a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive me, and I could have been there instead of here. That's one of the torments of hell. Revelation describes hell as a lake of fire and brimstone. I want you to listen closely, very closely, to what the rich man said in verse 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Not by the flame, but in the flame. The people who are in hell aren't just close to the fire, they're in the fire. They're not just affected by the heat from the flames. They are immersed in the flames. They are in the lake of fire, and it is eternal, and there is never relief. Can you imagine? You've probably burned your finger or maybe your foot or sometime. Maybe we've got a couple here this morning that have got sunburns from being out in the sun. It's uncomfortable. It hurts. Imagine being immersed in flames. Your whole body, every part of your body, burning yet not consumed. For eternity, not for a few minutes, not for an hour, not for a year or two, but for all of eternity. It's horrible. And he said, I'm tormented in this flame. And even a little bit of water on the tip of a finger would be blessed relief, but there's no relief. Those in hell are separated from God forever. Verse 26 says, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. If you aren't a Christian and you go to hell, you will be separated from God for eternity. Now, I know in my mind, I can sometimes anticipate what you might be thinking when I say things. And there might be someone here who's not a Christian this morning thinking, well, what's the big deal? I'm separated from God now. No, you're not. God's everywhere. He doesn't live in you, but He's all around you. And then I want you to listen to James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing in your life, saved or unsaved, there's no qualifications on this verse. Every good thing in your life comes from God. And that means that if you are separated from God, there will be no good thing. In hell, there is nothing good. Separation from God. Those in hell are in the presence of evil. Revelation 20, verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The devil is the very personification of evil, and he is in hell. He will be in hell for all of eternity. Listen, he's not down there in charge. He's not the boss. He is immersed in the flames of hell. And if you go there, you'll be with him. Revelation 19:20 tells us that the beast and the false prophet, those servants of Satan, are in hell. Those are the people. Satan is the one who wants to harm you, who wants to destroy you. He's a liar. He lies to you. He causes you affliction. He causes you pain. He disrupts your life. He's a destroyer. And if you go to hell, you will be in his presence for eternity. And for eternity, he will destroy you because he's caused you, he's deceived you, and he's enabled you to go to hell. Verses 27 and 28. Then he said, this is the rich man, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I got to tell you, I can't imagine being in flames. I can't imagine burning for eternity. It's a terrible thing. I can't imagine being separated from God for eternity. I can't imagine being in the literal presence of Satan himself. But this is the one that I think that gets me the most, because this is the one that I can feel some measure of what it feels like now. Those in hell know about those on earth who are coming to hell. This man said, Father, would you send him home to my brothers? I've got five brothers and they're on their way here. Please warn them. I hear people occasionally, usually it's a man, And he's got a lot of bravado about him. And he sometimes, usually, if I hear him, they talk about hell. Oh, I'm not afraid of hell. I'm going to hell. Come go with me. The rich man was in hell. And he said, please do anything you can to keep anybody else from coming here. Would you try to imagine that with me for just a moment? I've done it this week, and I want you to endure it too. Parents, can you imagine your children in hell? I mean, wouldn't you do all that you could to keep them out of hell? Wouldn't you pay any price? Wouldn't you give your life to keep your children out of hell? Choose God. Serve God. Give them the example. Show them the way to avoid hell. Grandparents, can you imagine your grandchildren in the flames of hell? Your spouse, your other family members, your friends at work, your friends at school, your neighbors. Can you even imagine those people that you don't like very much? I mean, is there anybody with an ounce of compassion who truly would wish anyone to go to hell? The rich man was in hell, and he could see, he knew all those people that were coming. And he said, oh, Father Abraham, send somebody to warn them to not come here. Those are all good reasons to choose God, to choose to serve God, to believe in God, to stay out of hell. There's another reason in this parable to choose God and to serve God, and that is the comfort of heaven. I mean, to the degree that hell is horrible, to that same degree, heaven is wonderful. I can't accurately describe to you the horrors, the torments of hell. I can't accurately describe to you the joys of heaven. But some we know about. In verse 25, the Bible says, but Abraham said, son, speaking to the rich man, rememberest thou that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Comforted. The comforts of heaven. For those in heaven, there is no pain of any kind. There's no suffering. There's no sorrow. There's no disease. There's no stress. There are no deadlines. There's no death. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In heaven there is only joy and peace and celebration for all of eternity. No pain. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine life with no pain, no stress, no difficulties of any kind? Those in heaven are in the very presence of God. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now remember, God is love. God is holy. God is pure. Those who go to heaven are in the presence of pure love and holiness, in the very presence of God for all of eternity. I mean, really, which would you rather be? In the presence of evil with no good, or in the presence of love and purity and holiness? Those in heaven are also in the presence of the angels and the saints who have gone on before us, and family and friends who were saved, who were Christians and went on to heaven. We're in their presence. There's joy and there's peace for all of eternity in heaven. Those in heaven have no knowledge of those in hell. The parable says that the rich man could see Lazarus. It never says that Lazarus could see the rich man, because that would cause Lazarus suffering and pain, and in heaven there's no pain, there's no suffering. If those in heaven could look into hell and see the suffering, it would cause them pain. Some of them might have family or friends there, and it would cause them pain. So listen, those in heaven have no knowledge of hell. The Bible says that on the earth, Lazarus suffered. He had a difficult life. He had a terrible life. He struggled. He had pain. He had difficulties. But listen, when he got to heaven, Revelation 21:4 said, the former things are passed away. He didn't remember any of that. We like to think, when I do funeral services, you know, the family of the one who is deceased, we always like to think that our loved one, if they went to heaven, and by the way, everybody likes to think their loved ones go to heaven because nobody wants them to go to hell. But we always like to think that our loved ones up in heaven, they can look down and they can see us. And boy, they're going to help us and they're going to give us direction. And that's God's job. Listen, those folks in heaven, listen to me close. I believe I can prove this with Scripture. Those folks in heaven cannot see us on earth because it would cause them pain. They would see their family and their friends who are on their road to hell, and it would cause them suffering. They can see their family and friends who are Christians and yet are struggling with physical pain or emotional pain or financial difficulties or whatever it might be, and it would cause them suffering. Don't you suffer when your family suffers? When your children are hurt, doesn't it hurt you? When your spouse hurts, it hurts you. Well, if they could see that, it would hurt them. And we just read there is no pain in heaven. So I don't want to bust anybody's bubble. But your family and friends who have gone on before you, they can't see you because they're busy rejoicing and celebrating and worshiping in the presence of Jesus. And there's no memory of a painful life on earth. And there's no knowledge of the pain of their loved ones on earth. There's only joy and peace in heaven. Those in heaven will be with Jesus. We'll walk with Him. We'll talk with Him. He'll answer all of our questions. Maybe we'll already just automatically know when we get there. I've for many years now, I've imagined those Christians who die and they go into heaven. The Bible tells us, in this case, the Bible tells us that they sent the angels of heaven and came and got Lazarus, and they brought him into Abraham's bosom, into the presence of God. And can't you just picture the nail-scarred hands of Jesus as he reaches out and he cups your face? Welcome home, child. Isn't the choice obvious? I mean, isn't it really clear? That brings us to the choice. The rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back to his brothers so that they could hear the message, so that they could choose God, so that they could serve God. I want you to listen to what Abraham said. This is important. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, listen, they've got the word of God and they have the prophets of God. They need to listen. We have the word of God. It's called the Holy Bible. We have it. You've heard it this morning. We have Christians who witness and testify to us. We have ministers who preach the word of God. We need to hear them. And hearing them means we need to believe what the Word of God says. I know there's conflict in the world today, and I know science says one thing and the Word of God says something else. And society, culture says one thing and the Word of God says something else. And the government says one thing and the Word of God says something else. I want you to know that society and culture and the government are lying to you. The Word of God is the truth, and when we hear it, that means that we believe it. The choice is so obvious, so clear, and it's yours to make. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'll just come and play a song. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Be as quiet as you can for just a moment.